afternoon. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting of May 24, 2016 to order. First thing to approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and good afternoon, members. I have one suggested amendment this afternoon. We can strike executive session land acquisition and possible action on executive session papers.
Then motion to approve the agenda is amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlet, second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Arlet.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I have a yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of May 17th. Any corrections, concerns, questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Mr. President, I have some correspondence, but I believe it's more appropriate to read that during the public hearing today.
Okay. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council? Public comment, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Kathy Hughes.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone.
We're going to stick to our 3 minutes today, so I'll wear that, so.
Absolutely.
You get started, we'll keep you track. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kathy Hughes, and I live in Lewis, and I've come here today to ask you to consider enacting an ordinance in Sussex County regarding the tethering of dogs. Right now, current law is in the state of Delaware. The law allows the dog to be tethered 18 out of 24 hours, chained up. This does not apply to properties greater than 10 acres in size, so that would not apply to farms, obviously. The tether must be at least 10 feet in length. However, the law is currently unenforceable due to the inability to measure time tethered. My goal today is to request the creation of an ordinance applicable to the tethering of dogs in Sussex County to reflect a more humane policy that can be enforced. The current state tethering law strongly contributes to the following. Tethered dogs are 2.8 times more likely to attack than dogs not tethered, per two studies by the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control Task Forces. The American Veterinary Medical Association Task Force stated that a dog's behavior and social health are severely compromised by chaining and often lead to aggressive behavior and biting. Never tether or chain your dog because this can attribute to aggressive behavior. In North Carolina, records indicate that 51% of dog bites are attributable to tethered dogs. Children are the most common victims of unrestricted and unmonitored tethered dog bites. Per the CDC, in 1996, 30% of children died after wandering too close to a tethered animal. And that's died, that's not injured. And of course, there's a risk of attack against the dog by other animals. And there is a risk of the dog becoming aggressive due to their inability to protect themselves. So this is not only an animal abuse issue, but it's a public safety hazard. Now, there are examples of positive change. Smyrna enacted a law prohibiting tethering outdoors in weather conditions where temperatures meet or are below 32 degrees. They've also significantly reduced tethering to 6 out of the 24 hours. An animal cannot be left unattended. Tethering is also prohibited or severely restricted in communities in almost 50% of the time of the states in this country. It is time for Sussex County to come up to current standards with respect to tethering for both animal and human safety. It's very difficult for me to understand why we allow this situation to continue, and it's even further difficult to understand why the state was only able to pass 18 out of 24-hour situation. So what I would like to see is creation of an ordinance that allows tethering of a dog for no more than 6 hours during a 24-hour period, and the fact that these laws would be enforced to ensure the humane treatment of dogs while tethered. Now, you have some pictures there that I took, and they're all of pit bulls kind of in the mud, in the muck, but I want to show you two of my guys. I have three dogs. Two are rescues. This little guy here is Charlie. Charlie was left outside 24/7 for his entire life. He was so matted that he had to be shaved down to basically skin. This is what Charlie looks like today. He's a happy, healthy, sweet dog. So it's not just pit bulls who, by the way, you know, can get a very bad rep. It all depends on the humans and what they do with them. So I don't want to exceed my 3 minutes or to try your tempers here. Let's start off.
There are no tempers. You're doing good.
He gets like a pit bull.
Does he?
Yes, if you go past.
One that wasn't treated very well. You know, you got it. Anyway, I mean, I'm here alone today, but let me assure you, as you can well imagine, every rescue group is behind this. I'm part of a rescue group. I happen to be the national vice chair rescue for English Cockers, but I also support and help volunteer and raise money for others. So, any questions?
No, but thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Good morning, Paul Rigger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Basically, it's just back with the appointments on the agenda coming up next for Board of Adjustments and Appeals. Thank you for hopefully clearing up the expired terms and reappointing or appointing, however that works on there. But back to the appointment to the Planning and Zoning Commission. When I first read it, I was looking for the word a new appointment coming in for the next term with the one expiring this year. The question that I'm having is trying to understand this, is in the state code it says not to reappoint until June, not in May. But I still feel going in, it's not fair to District 1 not to have a person in their district representing them on the planning board and representing the county as a whole. It should go into that. If it's not a new appointment, wait till June to do the appointment over, because that 6803 said during the month of June each year, which term of any member therefore appointed by the county government expires, the county government shall appoint members to the commission. The term of the office shall commence on July 1st. So if it's just to reappoint planning and zoning, or just to do the reappointment of the second one and number five for this year's term and not move it to one, I can't see how you can do it if the state says you have to wait till June. Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
I'm gonna pass.
Pardon me?
Same. I'm gonna pass.
I think the same issue.
Wow, okay.
I thought like you're still ugly.
I can't help it. Mary Ellen Vitzerek.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Mary Ellen Vitzorek. My current concerns today are once again focused around the proposed sewer district. I have given you maps of our community, and this is just to give you an opportunity to see us close up. Please ignore the X's. This was given out at our community yard sale. They're the homes that participated, but I thought it'd be a good opportunity for you to see what our development looks like at a little bit better view than what we have here on this paper. My system is designed for a 3-bedroom home. My sewer system, septic, is a 3-bedroom home, which is 350 gallons a day. And I'm lucky if I put 350 gallons a week in that. And there are a lot of 1- and 2-occupant homes in Winding Creek Village, so I'm sure they're not contributing their capacity to their septic systems. Each one of our home sites are a minimum 1/2 acre, and they go up to over 5 acres, as you'll see on page 2. Our developer still lives in the village. They knew when we were that we would be needing septic systems, and they gave us large lots so that we could accommodate them. Mr. Lawson, you announced at the February 24th meeting, the public meeting held at the Chair Center, and I quote, "We hear you loud and clear. I don't want you residents to feel like this is being jammed down your throats. This is absolutely not the intent." Well, if that is not our intent, why are we still standing here week after week after week fighting to be heard and to be given a fair chance? If it is not being jammed down our throats, then what do you call it when we are forced to a referendum which allows over 7 other homes and their 18 plus and 8 of age and older eligible family members to decide our fate? Some of the homes may be in troubled areas, which is totally understandable, but they're in a different situation from ours. We should not be forced to be their cash cow. As you can see on your own proposed district boundary, we're just sort of stuck in there at the very end. We look like we're going to fall right off. It doesn't even make sense. We were told, Mr. Medlars, got to pick on him too. He mentioned in the paper after the water district was voted down, and by the way, thank you all very much for that. He said that it was the only right thing to do. He told of the inappropriate letter received from our Board of Governors, and he mentioned the over 190 affidavits that he received. But in the next sentence, he said he did not receive any for the sewer. Well, the reason for that is because he told us that we couldn't opt out. If we had known that we could, we would have. Just in the paper on May 8th, the News Journal on the front page said that the young are moving out of Delaware and the old are moving in. The median age in Lewis is 61.8 years of age. Mr. Arlett, you mentioned that you've moved your parents down here for retirement in Sussex. We're kind of turning into a retirement county. Well, here is a fact. At the May 7th meeting, public meeting that was held at Beacon Middle School, I asked John Ashman if seniors would be offered a discount similar to the one that was offered to me when I lived in Newcastle County. Well, he told me after a moment's thought, if I wanted a senior discount, maybe I should move back to Newcastle County. Really? My final fact is this. My friends on council, you are our vote in 2 weeks. Our fate is in your hands. When you ratify the vote on the boundaries, please be fair and drop Winding Creek Village from Herring Creek Sewer District. Thank you.
Joyce Jason.
Good morning. Joyce Jason, 419. Pardon? Oh, afternoon, you're right, it's afternoon. 2 coffees didn't do it. 419 Circle Road. Last week, the council ratified the Unified Sewer District, and I was a little confused with some of the issues. And I did speak with Ms. Jennings. Thank you very much. You were very helpful. However, I still had some other questions that maybe should be referred to you guys. In the presentation last week, it was noted any future districts will be part of the Unified Sewer District, but will continue to pay its own financing, carrying its own debt, et cetera, to build the infrastructure. However, in the same presentation, the council directed the finance director to undertake any and all acts necessary to transfer any accounts, receivable, payable, debt, liabilities, and so on, from the existing district to the Unified Sanitary Sewer District. It was also noted that connection fees can be used in different areas and that this fee can be used to pay major repairs not covered in the normal operations and maintenance. Isn't that robbing Peter to pay Paul? I don't understand this. So as to go on, it says that in generally there is a community pool of funds which is going to be collected. The average rate per foot is $3.76. Some rates are as low as 32 cents a foot. Some are as high as 7.81. If Herring Creek Sanitary Sewer District passes with a proposed rate of 8.24 per foot, we'll be paying more than twice that which the average sewer rate is in this community pool. How would an expenditure be proportional? How can, as presented last week, large improvements can be divided equally among users? We all know that repairs and upgrades are inevitable, but the community pool, it appears to me that the newer sewer systems, Bayview Estates, Holtz Landing, and the proposed Herring Creek, are going to be subsidizing those earlier created sewer districts with rates as low as 32 cents a foot. When a major improvement is required by DENREC, how can 32 or 42 cents a foot cover their equal share of the cost? Maybe you can explain that to me. It doesn't make sense to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeanette Cosgrove.
Good afternoon. In all that I have read on the websites of the EPA, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and the Inland Bays group, I have not seen that that septic systems are listed as the number one cause of nitrogen pollution in the bays. I've read, many others have written that septic systems are a natural, more greener approach to managing wastewater in rural communities. Are sewer systems really best for the environment? I think we have to ask that question. Properly installed septic systems adequately treat waste without chemicals. Septic systems trickle the wastewater, small quantities, into naturally filtered and cleaned into the soil. So, Councilman Wilson, with your background, I bet you may know that septic systems also return water to the groundwater. That's where it helps to replenish our wells, believe it or not. Imagine if all the septic systems are removed and then the wells started to dry up, needing to drill another well. This actually occurred. We used to live on the western side of the Chesapeake Bay, and there were many homes in Anne Arundel County that they had to drill another well for that reason. Councilman Cole, I heard your comments on TV a few weeks ago, and I'm not trying to quote you directly, but hopefully I'm close, that you've opposed development for many years, and we're glad to hear that. You raised an excellent question. When or will we decide that development has maximized in an area? How do we decide that? We could raise the same question about sewer systems. When are we at maximum capacity to handle such huge volumes of waste? Spraying it agriculturally, we know, is very expensive. When we do run out of land to spray within the EPA guidelines, when do we run out of land to spray within the EPA guidelines? We want to avoid spraying too frequently and not spraying before it rains to prevent runoff. Will rapid infiltration basins or ribs, it's not the ribs that you want to eat, but will those need to be considered in the future? We need to look at alternatives. There is a ribs facility in Cape Henlopen State Park that's being studied. The treated wastewater quickly infiltrates into the basin. State and federal scientists have documented that the Columbia Aquifer is highly susceptible to contamination. So there are risks associated with the RIB system and must be monitored closely. So I ask, was the spraying from the Wolf Neck treatment facility, was that monitored closely? Or was there overspraying due to a capacity issue? We are not convinced that the sewer district is the best way to manage our wastewater. Again, we ask the council to have the sewer district boundaries redrawn and to exclude Winding Creek Village. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, thank you, Mr. President. A couple of items of business this afternoon. First is the appointments, in this case, to the Board of Adjustment and Appeals. I have two positions on the current board that need reappointment. One is for Mr. Wilson and one is for Mr. Arlett. We could do both if you agree at the same time. I believe that Mr. Wilson would like to reappoint Mr. Kevin Pritchett to the Board of Adjustment and Appeals, and Mr. Arlett would like to reappoint Mr. Bradley Layfield to the Board of Adjustment and Appeals.
Okay, we can both say none.
And motion? I do, sir. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council appoints Mr. Kevin Pritchett and Mr. Bradley Layfield to the Sussex County Board of Adjustments and Appeals, effective immediately for a term of 4 years.
Pleasure, Council.
Okay, motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, Cole. Very good. Cole. Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'm against motion carried. Mr. Lawson, that's so we don't probably plan to have enough, I guess. Let's defer the planning and zoning until next meeting in June. Okay. I don't want to break any laws, obviously, but I'm not going to change the appointment, but we'll do that.
Okay. So we will move on to the administrator's report for May 24, 2016. Item number one, Sussex County is placing multiple items such as generators, lawnmowers, computers, oxygen cylinders, hoists, and backhoes up for bid on an online auction hosted by govdeals.com. Bidders can compete in the online form for items that have been deemed surplus. All items for bid are presented and sold as is, and the winning bidders must pick up their lots upon completion of each sale. The online auction will run from May 26th to June 4th, 2016. Only bids made online will be accepted, and payments must be made through the govdeals.com website. Payment forms accepted include credit card, PayPal, or wire transfer. Beginning May 26th, you may visit www.govdeals.com/SussexCountyDE to see a listing of items for sale as well as terms and conditions. And second item, please note county offices will be closed on Monday, May 30th, to observe the Memorial Day holiday. In addition, council will not meet on Tuesday, May 31st. The next regularly scheduled council meeting will be held on Tuesday, June 7th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question up, Mr. Cole.
On the online auction, would people who are close by have an opportunity to come look at these items?
Excellent question, thank you. These items are being staged or have been staged out to the parking lot at the airport at the EOC. If you drive by there, you can see the items and go up and look at them. If you would like more thorough inspection, it's by appointment, and that information is on our website. And
so it does tell you that you have the opportunity to come to see them.
Okay. You may inspect them. If you actually want to see inside, you may set them up.
Okay, my question. Well, Sam, you want to ask it again?
It wasn't a problem submission.
It's greenhouse. It sounds good.
Ms. Jennings, first quarter employee recognition awards.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first quarter employee recognition awards, or otherwise known as the Pickle Awards. Give Them a Pickle is a program that recognizes employees for exceptional customer service. Employees can be recognized by coworkers, county residents, and customers. There were 31 employees who received a Pickle Award for the first quarter of 2016. A committee of supervisors and employees reviewed all of the pickles and would like to recognize three employees. Two employees received honorable mention. The first employee is Mary Sue Sharp in Treasury. She received recognition for assisting an elderly woman that came in with a tax problem and was very upset. She had just lost her husband. Mary Sue calmed her down and took care of the problem. She then took the lady out to the circle and showed her way how to get to Rehoboth. Mary Sue was professional and courteous at all times. Ryan Stewart in the Constable's Office received recognition for locating and reaching out to owners of a property that lacked required permits for various issues. Ryan committed to them that he would work with them and walk them through the process to bring their property into compliance. Ryan's willingness to provide the extra level of customer service placed the property owner in an agreeable mood. Ryan felt partnering with the customer showed a good nature of Sussex and a willingness to take an extra effort in gaining cooperation. And then the third employee is the employee that received the first quarter customer service award. This employee is Cody Grosh of the paramedic department, and he is commended for noticing that a patient's daughter had gotten her car stuck in the mud in the patient's front yard. Cody assisted the patient's daughter in freeing her vehicle and then helped her carry in her groceries into the house. These are just three of the 31 pickles county employees received. At this time, we would like to recognize the three employee winners along with the other employees in the audience that were able to be present today by getting a group picture with county council.
You all have?
Yes.
Congratulations, employees. Come on down, we'll get a picture taken with everyone here that's present. Congratulations to the three employees that were selected for their.
Stewart. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
There's that. This is yours. And where's Mary Sue?
There she is.
Congratulations to you. There's this. And there's this. There's my 41 in front. Need to be in the front if you can, guys.
And we'll come around and pack in as close together as you can. Call us in the back. If you're tall, stand behind Stacy here. All right, come out.
Okay.
You can't see Rob, I know.
Oh, that's Star.
Rob. Is Joan okay where she is? Need to be here somewhere else.
Yes.
I always think it's a chore to get this group.
Everybody good? Look at Chip and smile. There you go. It's your photo op.
I'm down. Go ahead.
Oh, Chip's got something. He's going to do something here.
It's the social media one.
Yep. Oh, my. Any more pictures? Everybody got their pictures? Oh, wait.
Autographs scared me.
You need to take a picture? Okay. Everybody else need a picture. We're gonna break this group up. Okay. Thank you all for what you do. Appreciate it. Thank you. Congratulations. Congratulations to all of you.
Somebody's got to be.
So I think we'll.
Good job. Thank you.
Very good.
Congratulations.
I like the slices. I like the sweet slices. Are you
Cody? High maintenance.
Are you Cody?
Yes, sir.
COTY?
COTY.
That's it, ma'am? Okay.
Thank you very much.
See if you were back next. I'll get two of them. Okay, Hollis Midler. Here he is. He's hot back in the back. Couldn't find him.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm here to ask your approval of a very critical piece of transportation infrastructure. Our drainage at the airport, one of the main pipelines, drain pipelines, runs underneath the runway, actually. It has been compromised. It is a piece of infrastructure which dates back to the beginning days of the airport. The intent is here not to dig up the runway, but to line the actual pipe. We have some pre- and post-documentation requirements. The bid went quite well. We had a number of responsive bidders. And we are within our budget, and we can make a recommendation if you so see fit. Yes. The recommendation would be to be it removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that the total bid for contract 16-16, runway 4-22, 24-inch storm drain lining, be awarded to Fast Pipelining East, Incorporated of Newark, Delaware, in the amount of $54,349.
Pleasure, Council. Motion to Mr. Deaver, second. Mr. Cole. Mm-hmm. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Rollett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Grant request, Ms. Jennings.
The first grant is Eastern Shore Aquarium Festival. They're requesting $1,000 to assist with the funding for the festival's staging, tents, audio, and publications. The festival is held at the Seaford Sport Complex and is open to the public. Last grant received was $700, which was $500 from Mr. Vincent, $100 from Mr. Arlette, and $100 from Ms. Deaver.
Oh, maybe do that again.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
To grant $700 to Eastern Shore Aquarium Festival for staging and audio expenses, being $500 from my council bank account, $100 Mrs. Deaver, and Mr. Arlette. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I'll be that motion carried. Next.
The next one is the Delaware Senior Olympics is requesting $500 to offset the cost of AED CPR training for their volunteer board members and sports coordinators. Last grant received was $500, which was $100 each week, council member.
Pleasure, Council.
Move
to
the same. Motion, Mr. Arlette. Second, Mr. Wilson. To grant $500 to Delaware Senior Olympics for AED CPR certified training, being $100 each council bank account. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I guess motion carried.
And then the third one over there to remove at this time.
That's fine. Being we're going to hold up right here, and we will move to our 1:30 public hearing advertised. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is